Shake and Wake to the Truth with Rick and Annie. And the truth will set you free on American Voice Radio.
Get ready to shake and wake to the truth.
This is an all-point.
Be on the lookout for the couple known as Rick and Annie.
They are armed with the truth. They consider it extreme and dangerous.
Shake and wake to the truth with Rick and Annie. Weekdays in December, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On AVR2, visit shakeandwake.com. See if you can catch them.
Deal with it.
Here we go again. Welcome to Shake and Wake with Rick and Annie on the American Voice Radio Network. It is Wednesday, January 22nd, 2014. And if Annie will stop fidgeting and we can start the show.
Sorry.
What's the matter? Is that IV itching? The coffee IV is pretty itchy today, huh?
Yeah, man, sorry about that. My bad. I'll stay still. I don't take myself to the chair if you want.
You're listening to American Voice Radio. You can join us in the chat by going to shakeandwake.com. On the site, right on the front page, there are two players there, a 16K player. If you're on a cell phone and you've got a limited bandwidth, you can use that one. Or there's a 56K player. Just below the enter button is a link directly to the chat room. Or you can go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com or TheAmericanVoice.com. And on the left-hand side, it says chat. So if you don't have a chat account already, just put in any email. If you don't have an email address or you don't want to use the one that you use for everything else, like Yahoo or whatever, you can go to hushmail.com, and they don't ask for any information. You can just create an email that you could just use that specifically. But don't forget your password for that one either, because
then you'd
be in double trouble. You'll have to create a new name every other week or something. But anyways, today we've got a guest coming up. After the first half hour, his name is Ole Damgaard. He was our first guest here on American Voice Radio when we started doing our shows over here. He was the first person we had on Monday the 9th of December. And he's going to be showing up right after the first half hour. But in the meantime, we brought on our good friend Ziggy, who is in Germany. And she used to live in Canada and was a anti-New World Order host exposing satanic rituals and abuse of children. They did some horrible stuff to her and deported her. And she's a great person. She's a believer in Jesus Christ, Yeshua, and good friend of ours that we recently hooked up with again. And we wanted to bring her on to tell her story in the first half hour. And so you guys in the chat room and everybody, anybody out there who might have heard Ziggy's show, I know that Thomas, we talked to Thomas, he goes by Norm, in the chat.
Yeah, all the time, it's yeah, yes.
I think Norm's his middle name. But anyways, he knows Ziggy.
Oh, that's cool.
So welcome to Shake and Wake, Ziggy.
Oh, hello. Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry, I was miles away there.
Yeah, the mute button will get you all the time, won't it?
Wow. I was totally gone there for a minute.
That's okay.
Welcome to Shake and Wake, and we had told everybody that you had a horrendous story to tell about what telling the truth can get you. And,
you're going back to Germany, I suppose.
Yeah.
We
first heard her on another network a few years ago, and we used to listen. She did a weekly show on Saturday mornings. Was it Saturday or Sunday?
No, Saturday. Yeah.
And it was a good show.
I'm not like a professional or nothing. I'm just a woman who's got lots to say sometimes and nothing to say sometimes, and then I get emotional, and then the world falls apart and the world gets back together again.
Hey, well, that means you're real. That's the secret of Shake and Wake, you know. We're not smooth-talking journalists who are out there taking a paycheck, lying to people working for the corporations. Mm. But anyways, where would you like to start?
You were doing your
show, and you were exposing satanic rituals, abuse on children, and the pedophile rings, and take it away.
Yeah, in Canada, but I mean, before that, the story I tried to expose actually was from my Canadian husband, right, who was really sexually abused in Brookside Reform School in Ontario. And I really got into it really about two to three months before I got deported or arrested. And I created a website, and I done some more research, and the research I actually had, obviously I know now actually lost, because I got deported and I lost everything. I lost everything of my apartment, everything. My dogs, I went to the pound. I don't know even where they are. My kids are separated now. One of my boys is here in Germany with me. The other one is in England fending for himself. He's now found a place to stay, but I don't know how long he's going to stay there. He just had a stroke 2 weeks ago. So things are really up in the air. I'm trying to keep my son, who I've got here with me, on a straight and narrow, not on a straight and narrow, but level-headed, because he actually would like to return to Canada. Because both of my boys were fending in Canada by themselves for 1 year after my deportation.
How old were they?
My youngest son was 18, my older son was 20.
Okay.
And because my older son actually took care of my youngest son when he had trouble finding food or anything, my older son went out and worked under the table, doing construction work, anything. You know, he worked sometimes 15, 16 hours a day just to get like $50.
Wow. If you don't mind, I'd like to ask the listeners or anybody who's going to hear this rebroadcast or the archives to say a prayer for Ziggy and for everybody out there that's trying to expose the truth, because, you know, people are under attack. They don't want these truths out, obviously.
Mm. Well, before my arrest, my husband and I had to go to Mississauga to Airport Road, talking to the immigration again. So my husband actually got a little bit mouthy. And he said, I'm a Canadian, my wife deserves to be here, da-di-da-di-da. And he was pretty, not rude, but he was really outspoken. And he said, you know, the Canadian employees once screwed me over. They're not going to screw me again. Meaning, he was sexually abused as a child at Brookside Training School. I mean, we're talking about horrendous abuse, you know, rape by men. He had to actually cut up bodies and dispose of them behind Brookside School. There was a river. These boys who actually didn't make it were killed while they were abused or died while they were abused, you know, because I've got no idea. My husband hasn't got an idea. But anyway, they woke them, the other boys up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And not all of a sudden disposing of 6 boys. It was a matter of 3 years, you know. And what they had to do, they had to carry the bodies behind the school in Brookside and hang them on a tree and then de-blood them, so the blood actually ran into the river, and then cut the bodies up.
They made now, the children do this?
Yeah, my husband was, the first time he did it was he was 13 years old.
And where's your husband now? That's enough to put someone in a mental institution.
Well, and that's the problem. My husband is not well. I personally think he's never been diagnosed, but I do believe he does suffer from post-traumatic stress. Because he can be the nicest guy, but and he would give you the shirt off his back. But something always clicks with him. A smell, a wrong word, and all of a sudden you will see a different person in front of you. A different person, meeting from a loving, kind man, he turns into a monster.
Yeah.
He is careless. He doesn't care about anything anymore then. He becomes very aggressive, not physically aggressive, but verbally aggressive. And then all of a sudden, he's gone. And you can't find him for weeks on end. And then all of a sudden, he comes back again.
It sounds like they trauma-based mind controlled him.
Right. And I do truly believe that too. Because it can be a smell or anything like that. It kicks off. And he can be a kind man. I mean, the only thing I can describe it is, in 2008, we went, to Canadian Tire, da-di-da-di-da, and there was a lady, old lady sitting there. I remember that just before Christmas, and my husband and I took me to lunch there. And there was an old lady, she's already had like a Christmas dinner in front of her, and he actually just went to the waitress and already paid for her dinner before she even met him.
Wow.
And then, after she was finished, he invited her then to our table. And she said she never ever met anybody like him. And, I always remember that story. That was my true husband.
Yeah, we've had people do favors like that for us. And it's truly, it's amazing and it's a wonderful blessing when another human being reaches out and does an act of random kindness like that. Okay, So you're exposing what had happened to your husband, and all of a sudden, you know, the police want to talk to you.
No,
tell them about the interrogation and all of that.
But what happened first? I got in contact with somebody in British Columbia, and his name was David Amos. This is how it started. If you ever get David Amos, then I had the RCMP calling me to shut all communication off with David Amos. He knew a lot about, and I never got to know the island, something in BC, there's an island where these kids, lots of kids disappear, right? Anyway, I was warned off by the RCMP, and then on the 8th of December 8th of December 2012, at 7:30 in the morning, I just came back with my dogs. I took my dogs for a long walk. I just tried to shut my apartment door, and all of a sudden the apartment door flew open, and my dogs were just scared, and immigration police officers came in. First of all, smacked me in my mouth, and I lost one of my two front teeth, pushed me to the floor, put a gun to my head. Then one woman sat on the back of me and pulled my hair back, and I couldn't really breathe, and then they handcuffed me, and then they led me away, right? And she said, you can thank your, the one woman said, you can thank your husband for this treatment. So they led me away and they put me in a van and then they drove me and my mouth was bleeding and all this and that, and they were they already humiliated me, and they said to me, we are the law here, there's no Canadian government behind us, we are the law. So your husband messed with us, and this is what you get. So they took me to called a Vanya, woman's prison in Vanya, and I was held there for 3 weeks under a false name. I was
under a false name. In other words, they put you under another name, so if someone was looking for you, they couldn't find you. Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely. Right. And then they put me under a name, a Spanish name. So obviously, I was in prison there, and I was crying, and you know, the women I met there were really, they were really nice women too. And obviously, I've never been in such a situation before. They knew I wasn't going to be. The women said, "You don't even belong here. We don't even know, because I don't know. Maybe they can tell who belongs in there and who doesn't." So, but I don't care. I don't dumb people who are in prison and stuff. So anyway, then they asked me for three times in the 3 week period. They asked me to sign my deportation orders and my deportation papers, and I refused. And at the third time, and I thought to myself, I'm spiritually strong. God, the Lord is behind me. The Father will protect me. And I was actually, how can I say it? I was actually too secure in myself, and I, how can I say it? I'm this great believer in Yeshua and God, and He has always protected me and all this and that, and nobody will break my spirit. And I was thought I was bold enough to hang on to it, but the third time when I refused, they let me away, me thinking again I'm going back to my cell. But this time they went totally to a different cell, and was pretty cold in December in 2012, and there was no heating in the cell or nothing. They stripped me naked. Three prison guards humiliated me for, I was in there for, what, more than 12 hours.
Wow.
Naked. Right, and three prison guards, you know, three men, and you know, the woman sits there naked and all this and that. You know, it's pretty humiliating.
Did they molest you or touch you or grope you or anything?
No, it never came to that. Nah. But I mean, I was cool.
I'll tell you what, you know, when the time comes, I think. Put it this way, I can't even say on the air what I would do to another human being that would touch children or do what was done to you. These people need to be dealt with. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, when the time comes, it'll be time for the people, the decent people of the world, to deal with these people. Go ahead, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but this is really upsetting me, you know.
No problem.
Anybody who would molest a child or do anything to a child, and then have another child cut up the body and get rid of it. If I was your husband, I would have started whacking these people myself. When I grew up and got older, I'd be tracking down the people who made me do that and blow their freaking brains out. But that's me. I'm not advising anybody out there to go do something like that. But if somebody did that to me as a child, raped me, and then made me cut up bodies and get rid of them, I think at some point around 18, 21, 22, 24, I would have gone back and found those people. But I'm not advising you to go out and do that. But anyway.
Well, the thing is, I mean, he actually won one court case in 2004. He took the Ontario government to court, and he actually won his case. Well, he won a payout. But they rumbled him again, you know. He really didn't know what he was doing. A person like who's been abused like that, they don't really know what they're doing. They really need psychological help and emotional help to go through a court case like that. And he didn't want to take the money, but he was pressured to take the money because he wanted to get it out in the open. Because he's the only one. There was a group a group trying to sue the Ontario government. And he was the only one who didn't sign the piece of paper. He wanted to go by himself. He wanted to go to court and tell his story. But his lawyer, you know, they all work together. You know, if the government doesn't want anything to come out too much, then they're going to shut you down or, you know, try to pressurize you and stuff like that. But in my research, I found out a guy called Mr. Brewers. He was a social worker and a probation officer in 1972. He went to the Ontario government already and already complained that there was sexual abuse going on in that school. And he actually was fired. So I tried to hunt down Mr. Brewers, but I couldn't find Mr. Brewers. And I found out, I can't remember, I got the website up, Glenn something. He was a psychologist and he was involved in all this. So he actually signed the papers for these boys to be in this training school and stuff. And he actually said that Mr. Brewers was lying. So that's a great big cover-up there, right there. And as soon as I found that, I contacted somebody in the government. I was talking to a lady there, and she said, finally, I found somebody, or somebody is there who's actually going to take this on. This is disgusting. She said, I heard about it a long time ago and all this and that. She said, I can give you all the names. When your husband was there, because we were after all the names, so my husband could go after them legally. And then she said, give me 5 days, call me back next Monday. So I left it for about 6 days. I called her back and she was gone. Nobody, she left her job, or she was put into another job, or whatever. I don't know.
She anyway, coming back.
Yes.
You're talking about, this is rampant. And it's all over the United States, okay? These pedophile Luciferians, okay, they do this stuff in secret. They are everywhere. They are governors, lieutenant governors, prosecutors, police officers, sheriffs, okay? There is a Satanist network across the United States, Canada, and all over the world. And they feed off of children, okay? They do these satanic rituals and sex magic rituals, sexual abuse towards children. And people need to wake up to the fact that this is going on. It's disgusting. And the reason that they can cover it up is because they are the law. Okay? They are the top of the law. The JonBenet Ramsey case, the prosecutor in the case was identified at being at one of these satanic rituals. The lieutenant governor of Colorado was identified as being, I don't know if it's the same lieutenant governor now, but during the time there was a witness who was going to come forward and try to get the truth out. She was on the phone making phone calls saying she was coming back to Colorado to tell the truth, that she was a former Luciferian who is now a Christian, who was going to expose that this man, the attorney general in that area, the one who was supposed to be prosecuting the JonBenet Ramsey case, is a known pedophile, Luciferian Satanist. And she told, the last thing she said on the phone is, we're being chased and followed. So the CIA or somebody from Temple of Set or somebody from these satanic organizations obviously got this woman and her therapist. She was being driven in a car by her therapist from California back to Colorado. And those two people disappeared. These people will kill anybody, okay? And just the fact that we're talking about this on the air could get us killed, okay? Because they don't want this information out. And we're talking about the Bush family. Almost everybody who's really high up is involved in this crap. And it makes me sick to my stomach. This is why the United States of America will be destroyed by our Creator. Because these monsters have taken over the money system and the judicial system, and they are the law. So the American people and the people of the world have got to hold their governments accountable. They've got to wake up to the truth, and they've got to stop these scumbags. If they don't, you will suffer, because their plan is to murder 80 to 90% of us. They have this plan for New World Order, and they're not going to stop. And the people coming, there's been so many people who have come out to try to expose this stuff, and they're dropping like flies, okay? They're being murdered. We're being silenced, ladies and gentlemen. But we won't be silenced. Ziggy won't be silenced. You want to kill us? Come on. Let's go. Do it. Send me home. I don't like this place, and I don't want to live on this planet with a bunch of scumbag Satanists running the show. We need to take this planet back in the name of decency. And we need to understand that the children disappearing aren't running away, okay? And it's not just a bunch of lone nuts out there grabbing these children. It is an organized syndicate, and they worship the devil, period.
Right.
Sorry. I had
no.
You know, people need to know this. I wish I could hack into the television satellites for a couple of hours and play some documentaries and expose all of them. Because the whole world should probably just rise up and slaughter them all. Any known Satanist that is involved in satanic ritual sacrifice. Okay? It would be good to give them a trial first. But at some point, people have got to do something. They've got to stand up or they're going to kill us all. It's us or them, period. And now they're saying, and it's been made legal, that they can call us mentally insane because we're talking about the truth. You're going to deem us insane and lock us away, medicate us, or murder us. Really? You think so? There's too many people who know the truth. Go ahead and try it. Come to my house and try to put me in a mental institution. Harm one hair on my wife's head. See what happens. That's not a threat. It's a promise. All right? And there are good law enforcement officers out there. So, you know, people need to stand up to the truth and not be afraid. Because threats and threatening your family and threatening your wife or your children, so long as people will fold under threats, that's how they keep doing this. Because they kill people or threaten people or they lock them up in mental institutions under a different name. If enough of us stand up, they can't do this anymore. It's that simple. Wake to the truth. And if you're some idiot who would say I'm a conspiracy theorist and you don't believe this, well then good. You deserve what's coming. Go to the FEMA camp when the power goes out. See what happens to you. Sorry. Hearing your story and knowing everything that I've known and learned, it's quite disturbing. It really is. And if enough people don't wake up, we're done. We're done. God will not defend this country if we don't end abortion and we don't hold these people accountable and we keep using this Ponzi money scheme run by Satanists. These people need to be held accountable, period. I love you, Ziggy. You're a warrior for the truth and for Yeshua Jesus. We're coming up on the break. And we're going to be bringing in our guest, and you're welcome to stay with us and ask him some questions.
Okay. Great.
All right. So we're going to go to break. You're listening to American Voice Radio, Shake and Wake with Rick and Annie. We'll be right back.
Okay. We'll be right back.
studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
How would you like access to personalized counseling concerning suitable health care alternatives for you and your family for the rest of your life? IIR provides this for only a one-time cost of $49.95. That's $49.95. One-time cost for a lifetime membership in IIR. Call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887 to get your lifetime membership in IIR and take advantage of the suitable healthcare alternatives you have a right to have access to. Ask for Doc Mike at 708-488-8887 for your lifetime membership in IIR.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
The political, religious, and medical views presented on various shows heard on American Voice Radio Network are not necessarily the views held by the management of American Voice Radio and are not presented as an endorsement by this network. All statements heard on American Voice Radio are the sole responsibility and opinion of those who speak the particular statement.
Shake and Wake with Rick and Annie on the American Voice Radio Network. Today is January 22nd, 2014, and we are being live. and we had the pleasure of having our friend Ziggy on. I'd like to thank her for coming on. And we have our guest coming in today, Ole Damagard. And before you talk, I got a little something for you, Ole.
Alright.
Ole! Ole, 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 ole.
I love your name.
Thank you so much.
She told you she was going to do that, remember?
Do you know, I live in Spain as well at the moment, so it's like every time there's football, it's like, ole, ole.
Every time I think of you, I sing that song around the house. That's Rick.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, if you go to shakeandwake.com on the main page after you hit enter, below information about us is our guest links, our guest today, and there's links to Ole's site over there, so you can just click on it and see his picture. And he was our first guest. There's also a link to the first show that we did. He was our first guest on American Voice Radio December 9th when we started Shake and Wake on this network. Ole was the first one we brought on, and it was a really great show, and we invited him back today. I just want to fill Ole in. Ziggy is a former anti-New World Order conspiracy talk show host who was living in Canada. And her husband was a victim of ritual sexual abuse as a child. And at age 13, he was also forced to help dispose of and cut up the bodies of other children that were killed through this thing. So just prior to me bringing you on, I went off on a little rant that these people need to be stopped. And this is an organized syndicate at the very top. Okay, the people who run the New World Order are Satanist, Luciferian scumbags who do ritual sex abuse upon people, men, women, and children. They're all about humiliation. They're all about... they get off on fear, and they get off on causing pain. They're demonic human beings, basically. Stu Webb believes most of them are possessed by demons to even do such things, you know.
Ziggy said she's having a problem unmuting her Skype.
Ziggy, if you want, you just shut down Skype. I'll drag you back in. You could shut it down and reload it. And then when I see you come back on, I'll bring you back in. If you can't hit unmute.
No, I'm okay now.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Hi, ole, 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 ole.
Hi, Ziggy, thank you. I'm very sorry to hear what happened to your husband. This is, it's awful when you hear about these things and up close when you get to know people who've been going through it.
Well, she was exposing that on her radio show. She had a show like we do. And, she was trying to get to the bottom of it and hold these people accountable. They arrested her, interrogated her, stripped her naked, put her in a freezing room, humiliated her, knocked her teeth out, beat her up, and then deported her back to Germany, basically.
Yep, that's about the end of it.
Yeah.
I'd like to mention that Ole's website is called... Here we go, I got it right here. It's lightonconspiracies.com. And you can go to shakeandwake.com, click enter. It'll take you over to the main promo part of the site where it lists all our guests. You'll see Ole and a link to his site if you want to check it out. And no, he doesn't work for the Illuminati. I just wanted to mention that. Ole, I think that picture on your site, were not on the one that I use, but on your website, it's you use a half picture in your website design.
And I know that.
I'm sure you know that. Wide awake, you know, the one eye thing.
I know. The thing is, you know, it's like there are all these different hand signs, there are all these different handshakes, there's all these different theories, there's all these different, and it's sort of like, come on, there's also normal things, you know, because I saw on one website, they said that I was holding my, you know, I was resting my head on my hand like that, and that's supposed to be a Freemasonry thing as well. It's like, okay, fine, if that is what you want to think, fine, but I would like to let my words and my actions speak for themselves and not get stuck on things like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I've seen a lot of people do the half face thing in a website or a mag, you know, in a graphic. And a lot of people don't know that, you know, the Illuminati one eye thing and symbolism there. But those of us who do might go to your website and go, aha, he's telling us he's one of them. So I'm just letting you know.
I know
that you might want to put a full picture of yourself to the left-hand side so that people don't think that, you know.
But listen, it's for me, as like I say, the reason I'm the one who designed the website myself, but I'm a web designer, and from day one when I started some 12 years ago, I've always wanted to do that because graphically I think it looks really, really good with that thing. That was way before I started knowing about these.
Right. I've done that too.
And then when I was going to make my own, I thought, now finally I'm going to make it like this. And if it, do you know, Freemasonry, whatever, if people cannot hear the difference from the words and my actions, then I'm not going to change it because I know I stand for what I stand for.
Yeah, you're not going to walk around doing the devil horns with your thumb extended thinking that means I love you. It might mean I... But I'm just saying, Helen Keller, you know, the hand sign, not the devil horns, but with the thumb out, a lot of people think that means I love you. And it in sign language, it does. But that is another one of those Luciferian signals, you know.
I know, there's many of them.
Yeah. Well, I was just mentioning it to you. Because,
thank
you.
You know, you're not the first one.
I don't want people to think that way about you, you know.
It's up to, I mean, you always have to be cautious whenever you are talking about these things or dealing with people in these it's always very hard to know who to be able to trust and who is loyal to what cause and so on. So I just prefer letting my words and actions speak for themselves, and then things like that. If you, like you say, if I had done the 666 thing with my hands or held, you know, around my eye like this or something, where it was a super...
Yeah, like the okay sign, you know how some people will...
Yeah, these type
you know,
of things.
What people don't realize is that means three sixes.
I know.
But you'll see people all the time. You know, I used to do that. And I used, like I said, I'd be on stage and do the hand sign because I thought that means I love you or rock and roll or whatever.
No. In fact, today when I gave you the okay sign, but and then I realized what I did. I put my hand up.
Yeah, I mean, what they've really done is tricked society.
Yeah.
Whether people realize it or not, when you go to a rock concert, that really is a ritual. It's a ritual, and they've tricked the youth to be using their hand signals, going to their rituals. They don't understand. I mean, the fans of people like Lady Gaga or Eminem or, you know, a lot of the newer, younger people in the music scene.
Oh, Jay-Z, the biggest.
Yeah, they have been mind controlled. Mm-hmm. And once you wake up and you start on your journey and you start looking at symbolism and stuff like that, and you know what you're looking at, once, you know, you've watched a bunch of documentaries on YouTube and stuff, then you'll turn on a halftime show at the Super Bowl, and you'll be shocked because there's the checkered Illuminati floor saying that they own this artist. There's the two pillars. There's the light behind them in that particular way. There she is making the devil horn sign.
There she is.
There's the pyramid. There's the stairs she's walking down.
And then her outfit, the Baphomet.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's incredible. They throw it right in your face. And unless you know, Like the Bible says, my people will perish for lack of knowledge. So that's why people like me and you and other hosts are out there trying to enlighten people and because we are truly the illuminated ones. They are darkness. We're the illuminated ones. They're the darkness.
That is why my domain name is not picked just by random, you know. That is what I'm trying to do, to spread light in the darkness around these conspiracies, because they are very dark, like you say. And but my intention is the absolute opposite, and I hope that my 30 years of research will show that as well.
So what do you got for us today? We only got we have an hour and 15 minutes left, and we covered a lot of stuff the first time you were on with us. If anybody after the show down the road later tonight or sometime, if you want to hear the first time Ole was on with us on Shake and Wake, you can go to shakeandwake.com and the archive is up there. We're going to be moving the archives to another service, maybe Podbean or something like that, because we don't want to kill the bandwidth and knock the site offline. As more and more people start grabbing stuff, it might exceed the limit. It says unlimited, but it really isn't. So get over there and check it out, and you can hear the last show that he did besides the one we're doing today, which will be archived later on today and rebroadcasted tonight at 11 p.m. on the West Coast and 2 a.m. on the East Coast, and then the other times in between for Mountain and Central. 1 p.m. Central and midnight Mountain time. So where would you like to go today?
No, it's one of the things that I really have focused on is trying to connect the different assassinations and terror acts and so on over the years. Because what I found, like I said, I've been down this road since the early 1980s and been looking very deeply into assassinations like JFK, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, things like 9/11, Oklahoma City, the Boston bombing, the killing of the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, the overthrow of Salvador Allende, the killing of Che Guevara, and so on. So,
yeah, are you familiar with the man who did the? There's a YouTube on him doing a seminar, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. I can't think of his name right now, but he would talk about how the CIA would rig an election, or whoever won the election, they would send someone like him to go meet him, and they would say, in this briefcase, I've got your first few million dollars to cooperate.
And then the second one, I got a bullet.
Yeah, I've got a gun with a bullet in your name on it.
No, but this is the thing, they've taken country by country in different ways. They even by with invasions like military force, or that they stage coups, military coups, right, or
Libya,
indirect coups, or Iraq. they used like this guy, financial hitman, where they go in and just first blow out the economical situation totally with the help of the World Bank, which is one of their tools, and also the IMF, the International Monetary Fund,
yeah,
where they just blow up the whole financial situation. And then, well, like I say, they take country by country, whatever way works, they do it. But what I've been focusing and what I found out is that they even use the same assassins over the years that have been super central in many, many, many of these conspiracies.
Are you speaking of mind-controlled super soldiers?
No. I'm speaking about an elite group of assassins that was created in the early 1960s, 1959, 1960 there.
Because one of the former networks that we were on, the owner was on conspiracy theories with Jesse Ventura, claiming to be a member of Project Talent, which was set up for assassinations and robberies, extortion, whatever needs to be done, and they were mind-controlled, just like in the movie the Manchurian candidate, the one with Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's plausible deniability. The person who's doing the assassinations doesn't even realize it. They use a trigger word or something. But you're saying besides that, there are professional people like the Jackal, the movie Bruce Willis was in.
Yeah, but it's a lot more than that. It's the group I'm talking about was created. It's called the grandmother of all operations. It was called Operation 40, and it was created by under the when President Dwight Eisenhower was in power. They had a lot of problem with Fidel Castro. He had just taken over Cuba, and they really wanted to get rid of the beard. So he, Eisenhower gave his vice president, Richard Nixon, the task of forming a group of highly skilled assassins under the control of CIA operatives. And what they did was they used about 40, to start with, between 40 and 80, exiled Cubans that had just escaped from Cuba. It was mostly military men from the Air Force, from the Batista police force and so on, that had escaped to Miami. And in their military, hard, disciplined, violent people that were recruited by the CIA in Miami at that time, and then put under surveillance and training by people like E. Howard Hunt, which is famous later from being very involved in the JFK assassination, also the Watergate burglary.
Yeah, are you familiar with they were going to try to kill him with a bacterial cancer, an infection? One of the guests,
you mean
Judith? Castles? Judith, yeah. What's her name, Annie? Judith
Baker.
Yes, Judith Baker was a 19-year-old who had figured out a way to weaponize cancer that it would kill a mouse or mice within 30 days, and she was drafted into laboratory, and that's how she met Lee Harvey Oswald. He was a runner running back tests and data between laboratories. I couldn't believe that. We saw a documentary that a doctor did recently. He's exposing that the epidemics that we have in this country of illness all came from that sort of biological weaponry.
Yeah, that's true. And there's a book called Dr. Mary's Monkeys where it's very described in big detail. And I think this is also one of the reasons why the cover-up of the JFK assassination had been so so intense and so
you think
compact.
It's
one of the reasons, because it is so much
bigger.
You think
that's why they set up Lee Harvey Oswald to be a patsy?
No. He was very involved in many different areas, and he just became the perfect patsy, especially with his background from being in Russia and so on. So they needed an insider that they could blame for this one, and he was unluckily for him, he was the one that fitted the best.
Let me ask you, Fritz Springmeier and I spoke. I think that what you witnessed when they brought him out of the police station, I think that was staged. I think they really killed Jack Ruby in prison with weaponized cancer. But I think Oswald was a mind-controlled asset, and that they might have just faked that shooting and then whisked him away in an ambulance, case solved, the assassin's dead, and that what we witnessed was staged because Fritz said, you know, you're not going to bring out the guy who killed the president without a bulletproof vest and in front of tons of people that haven't been checked for firearms.
But
you
that's
don't
not
do that. You sneak them out and you put them in an armored car. And,
but Steve, it's what you say is not it's not correct though, because he was brought out. It was in the basement of the police building of the police house, and all the people there were police or press. So there was absolutely no outside.
Well, how did Ruby get in there with a gun? What I'm figuring
is
it was a blank pistol. I think it might have been a blank pistol. It might have been faked. And
you know,
because the reason why, right, the reason why Fritz and I believe this, Fritz Springmeier, is because someone like Tim McVeigh or a mind-controlled slave who's a secret agent can be used over and over again or made to forget. So, you know, they invested a lot of time in these people. So, you know, they could have easily given him plastic surgery and sent him somewhere else in the world to continue his service. That's all.
I'm saying it, what you're saying is absolutely not impossible, for because there was a big thing around his grave site later on, where it many years later Marina Oswald insisted on them digging up the body to be able to really control and make certain that it was actually Lee Harvey Oswald that was buried there. And when they got the he was buried in a what do you call it, a casket, but that was inside like a concrete casing. And when they lifted up the casing, it they saw that it had broken. It had been lifted up and something had happened, you know, that it must have fallen down and broke off a corner. And when they opened up the casket, the skull that was in the casket did not have the signs of the autopsy that Lee Harvey Oswald went through. This is from the coroner that was the guy who buried him. He saw, you know, what is that called?
The medical examiner?
No, not the medical examiner. The
funeral director?
That's the guy.
The mortician. Yeah.
The mortician. He saw. You know, he was the one who put Oswald, you know, dressed him and cleaned him and all these things. And he said he was also there when they brought up this casket. And he said that the skull that was there did not have the markings from, you know, when they open up the skull to check the brain,
right,
that they did on Lee Harvey Oswald. So he said, I have absolutely no idea what had happened, but there was something very wrong with the body that was in that casket.
Wow.
And also it took, I think it was like 8 months for the official authorities to confirm that the teeth, the dental, the dental records matched with Lee Harvey Oswald. I think it was 8 months, you know, and that, I mean, you do that during a coffee break, you know.
Yeah.
You can check that very easily, and but this is standard within these things when they try to cover it over, and then
yeah, it's this simple. You just threaten the family of the medical examiner or the coroner or anybody who would become aware of the conspiracy by simply threatening them. you can control the situation. I mean, look at how many people have been declared a suicide. But, you know, their throat was cut, they got two shots or three shots to the head, and, you know, they've got bruises all over their body and their feet. I mean, how many people commit suicide torturing themselves, cutting their throat and shooting themselves in the head three times? Yet you got a medical examiner report that said cause of death, suicide. So you know that the bad guys threatened the medical examiner.
Or this is where the Freemasonry network sometimes is very obvious, where you see that the coroner...
Right, maybe the medical examiner is a Freemason, right, or a Satanist.
They very often are on that high level when they're being used. You will see, for instance, in a country like Sweden, the same coroner is being used in all the different major cases where there's, where there's a scandal that they're trying to cover up. This guy moves in. And I know there's especially one case that very few people know about, but there was a high-ranking police officer that was trying to, there was a very right-wing concentration of Nazi-minded police officer in Stockholm at that time when, in 1986, when the Swedish Prime Minister was taken out. And he was, the year before, he was very worried about this. He was the local boss of these police officers. And he was trying to stop them, and instead he ended up committing suicide. And the way he committed suicide, this is the official papers to this day, he stabbed himself 15 times, and then he hit himself in the face with something hard. Do you know, like, if you can't even try it, if you go, like, you'd have a knife in your hand, and you go, okay, I want to die, and then you go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
yeah,
6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Well, I know that Japanese soldiers have been known to fall on their own swords, but that's only one time.
That is one. You just can't do it.
That's it, you know. But to stab yourself multiple times, come on.
15. Yeah. But just like you say, around
the break,
around
it's the top of the hour. We have to go to the break. We got another hour left with Ole. You pronounce your name Damagard or Damagard?
Damagard.
Damagard. Okay. All right, because it's G-A-R-D. It's not guard, it's gourd.
It is G-A-R-D, but it's pronounced like G-O-R-D, so it's Damagard.
Okay, we'll be right back with Ole Damagard and Ziggy. You're listening to Shake and Wake with Rick and Annie on the American Voice Radio Network. Stay tuned.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be your own doctor for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887 or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org to order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be your own doctor for only $14.95 plus $2 postage and handling. Or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Shake and Wake with Rick and Annie on the American Voice Radio Network. Our guest today is Ole Damegaard, and we have Ziggy riding along with us, former host.
Sorry?
Go ahead, guys. Ole, where were we? We were talking about how corn can easily cover up something that's going on. Is that you making noise, or is that Ziggy?
I'm not making noise.
Oh, okay. You can hear something in the background. Oh, okay. All right. I could hear something in the background. It sounds like someone with a bag of potato chips or something. Go ahead, Ole. We were talking about how coroners can easily sign a death certificate and claim it's a suicide when it was obviously somebody who was brutally tortured and murdered. And that's how they cover up a lot of things.
No, one of the things I found out is that they use more or less like a template when they do make many of these false flag operations, black operations, or assassinations, real assassinations. And part of that template is that the investigation that moves in as soon as the person has been killed are their own people. So that as soon as the guy is eliminated, their own investigation moves in and kicks out all normal, decent police officer, honest detectives, and so on.
There you go, like Oklahoma.
No, it's standard procedure. Yeah. You will see that in all of these things. And and part of that investigation are also coroners, forensic experts, and so on. So, and you will very often see that it's the same people in different murder trials or murder investigations. They sometimes just move them around, giving us the normal people like an illusion of democracy that they are really trying their best. But when they follow this template, the investigation is just deeply part of the conspiracy itself.
Yeah, so we're in big trouble if we got people that we think are protecting us and law enforcement and the Justice Department. If national security is the National Satanic Association and they control the FBI and the CIA and they can just walk into any city, state, or town and flash their badges and say, we're taking over.
It is like that, and both, I mean, like in the States at the moment, if you look how FBI is working, when you go back, the terror acts that have been committed over the last 5-6 years, every single one of them, the FBI has been very deeply involved when it comes to training, supplying right. weapons or bombs or this whole thing.
Yeah, and even Oklahoma. Oklahoma, one of the police officers who was the first on the scene rescuing survivors, he was asking too many questions and he was deemed a suicide. But
yeah,
he was,
they tortured him to death.
Yeah, but it was, you know, it was a suicide, and other police officers have come forward and talked about it now, and they're still afraid for their lives. Check out the movie, I'm drawing a blank.
Me too.
What's the movie that came out like 2 years ago about the Oklahoma reinvestigated and looked at? A Noble Lie.
Oh, okay.
There it is. A Noble Lie. Great movie. If you want to find out what really happened there, that whole thing stinks. And the FBI is who the people are pointing their fingers at. So, you know, the banksters and the CIA, the FBI, the Mossad, MI6, MI5, the Queen, they all work together. I'm sure they got their organizations in Spain, too. What do they call them in Spain?
No, they don't have a real name here, but like you say, it's very, very interlinked and on an international level. So they're just what looks to be separate on a more local level. When you get higher up in the pyramid of power, they are all interlinked. So this is why it's very important to see that it has nothing to do with different countries. It's this elite group that is above national borders. And that is also why you can see, like, for instance, after 9/11, where Bush stands up and says, oh, we need to start the war on terror. It doesn't take more than a few minutes before Tony Blair on the other side of the Atlantic joins up and says, yeah, we have to do that. And then the French prime minister and then the Swedish neutral from a neutral country, this prime minister stands up and says, yeah, we have to support this. This is not coincidences, you know. It is inside trading, because these people are connected, and they're up, when you go up in the power pyramid, there's especially three that I focused a lot on. It's not in the absolute top, but they're way up there.
Kissinger.
Kissinger. But I'm talking, Kissinger is big time. He's one of the major manipulators when it comes to creating and getting conflicts going. He and Lord Carrington used to be the main ones that always went in where they could create a conflict. He went in sort of like a peace negotiator.
Yeah,
that
guy's
was the official
probably,
story.
Yeah, he's probably got more protection than the president.
But he doesn't need to really be protected. It's us that needs to be protected from people like him.
Yeah,
you know,
well, I'm sure that they, you know, have you ever seen the movie The Star Chamber? If the two people of the world ever sit down and start looking at evidence and decide to do something like that, they're in deep trouble. They're in deep trouble. The Star Chamber was a movie where people who escaped justice, a handful of judges sit around together and go over cases and decide, okay, you know what? This person's crooked, they've got connections, and they keep escaping justice. And then they hire a contract killer to take that person out. That's what that movie was about. And if the justice system is flawed, eventually that's what's going to have to happen. You know, I'm not advocating that, but, you know, if they control the justice system across the world and we can't have trials or bring them to justice because when somebody brings up facts or truths or tries to prosecute or sue, you've got people like Bryce Taylor that have named tons of people in Hollywood and the music industry and Henry Kissinger as being a sex slave handler and a user of children and satanic ritual abuse and all this stuff, and yet nobody, you know, none of these people are held accountable. What recourse does humanity have against these people, you know?
But I tell you, it's changing now. A few years ago, I think it was 2012, there was a war tribune in Kuala Lumpur where there was an international group of judges and lawyers that tried the criminal case of George Bush and Tony Blair and other people for crimes against peace against humanity, and they were all they weren't there. I mean, the whole trial was done without them being present, because they were called to court, but they never appeared. But they were sentenced, and the sentence was then given to the war court in Hague.
Well, then why can't a group of soldiers go over to both Senior's house and Bush Jr., you know, our former dumbass president, and just surround the place? Tell the Secret Service, who's likely Freemason, stand down or we'll take you out. And then grab these guys and deport them. Send them over to a military tribunal and throw them in a hole. And after the trial, execute them. Why can't that happen?
Do you know, when you study history, when you look back in history, every time there's been a revolution, this is what has happened. You know, and then after a few years down the road, the people who took over have become almost worse than the people who were there before.
Right. They've been infiltrated.
Yeah, this is a very dangerous way to go. So I am one that do not...
I don't believe in violence, okay? I don't believe in violence. But it's self-defense when you got people who are plotting to use biological weapons and kill not 80 to 90% of us, okay? And they've already, they did 9/11, they did Waco, Oklahoma. We know these things. We have the evidence. We know there are people who can come forward and testify that these people are guilty of murder, conspiracy to commit murder. And then if you want to throw in the television press that tells everybody what to say, those people are guilty before and after the fact. They should be arrested and held for being complicit. I mean, these people control everything, and it's about time that we take back the money they stole from the world. I'm just saying. I don't advocate violence, and I don't want to see vigilantism. That would be wrong. What I'm talking about is a group of people that are decent human beings who are going to see that justice is done, and then we need to protect those people. Because there's no judge who can stand up and do this on his own. They'll just kill the judge.
Look what happened to the judge in Iraq.
Right. You know, they'll kill the judge or threaten him, and then put another judge on who'll take the money or the threats. And they'll reverse the decision. I mean, what I'm saying is listen, if we can't get real justice, then we have to revamp the situation, or we have to put... But, you know, the problem is this. You can't... certain generals that are a part of the conspiracy or aware of it, if they wanted to organize a coup on the United States, and when I say a coup, I'm not talking about an illegal act of overthrowing the government. I'm talking about what's in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. If a certain amount of generals or high-ranking people would it turn states' evidence and decide that we are going to wrestle back the power away from D.C. because they are criminals, and it is a criminal conspiracy that has committed murder, not only in this country, but with illegal wars, and they wanted to organize an operation, arrest them all, say, okay, we can't even get on the phone or use a computer to get these men together and discuss a meeting, because the supercomputers owned by these bankers and the CIA are listening to us right now in every single conversation. Congress is bugged. The court system people are bugged. The Supreme Court is bugged. If anybody decides, you know what, I'm going to tell the truth, I'm going to stand up, we're going to take these guys down, I'm going to join the good guys, we are going to organize an arrest squad to get these people, hold them accountable. Before it could be done, these people will be destroyed one way or the other. Fired, discredited, or executed, or they'll have an accident. And then some sleazy coroner will say it was a suicide or a car accident, you know. And I believe it's self-defense. These people have already committed murder. Okay, so
No, I just want to say that the people in the top of all of this, I mean, they are super, 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 super criminal people. I mean, it's incredible once you start digging into what that. Yeah, exactly. But it's so important and difficult, this issue we're talking about now, how to deal with it. And I would say that one of the major thing is to wake up and see what is going on, because it is when you look at it, they are the elite themselves. It's a very small group of people. They're only a couple of thousand, not that many, and we are like 7 billion. The whole thing can just only work because we are doing it to ourselves. We are guarding ourselves.
The problem with that is, okay, when critical mass takes place and enough people were to wake up and start holding these people accountable, the people at the top, let's say the 12, because there's the 12 and then there's Satan, Lucifer, who's the top of the pyramid, and his fallen ones, the fallen angels. Because that's what this is really about, the spiritual battle. Those who rebelled against God to trying to destroy this planet and God's children. If enough people were to wake up and we were going to take this world back, these people, in my opinion, have a mindset like some deranged lover who says, you know what, if I can't have you, no one will have you, and I'll just kill you and kill myself. So what I'm saying is, in my opinion, if enough people wake up, then the bombing begins tomorrow. They go into their underground cities. They don't even worry about some of the other thousands that worked with them. The most important ones are given a notice, it's on. They go into their underground cities and they begin bombing all the major countries, or the remote controlled chemtrail planes are loaded up with chemical X, which is Ebola or something like that. And they will commit mass murder on a scale never before ever seen, and everything on the surface of this planet breathing will be killed, or any targeted areas. So, I mean, not to sound defeatist, but how do you fight an enemy like that?
If I had an answer, I would give it to you, but I don't. What I do know is that...
We need to put our spiritual armor on, right?
Yeah.
You do believe in putting on your spiritual armor and putting your faith in the Creator.
This is a massive part of it. This is this is why a situation like this is in one way really helping us to wake up, you know, and to take back our power that we've been given away for such a long time. Because it is, like you say, it's like this symbolic, not even symbolic, but this power between the light and the darkness. And it's a very challenging time.
I mean, that might be the fate of humanity, but one way or the other, they are going to kill us all. So either we rise up and force them to go underground and take whatever actions. But myself, I believe, and I've said this and I'll say it over and over again, anybody involved in this conspiracy, if you come forward and join us on the right side of history and testify against these people and expose everybody who's involved, we'll give you immunity. We'll give you immunity if you come forward so that we can take these people down. And if they decide that the jig is up, and we're going to be arrested, and they want to go underground and launch nuclear war, then so be it. So be it. But if we sit around and just wait, or we allow them to control the power centers of the world and the CIA and Mossad, and we allow them to control the justice departments and the justice system and the money supply, I mean, we're going down. We are going down if we don't do something. So being that we're going to be, they have made no secret with Agenda 21 that they plan on depopulating and killing us all, we've got nothing to lose. We've got nothing to lose. And being that they have committed murder and they are raping and killing children and they do worship death, the Brotherhood of Death, Satan, I think it's completely justified if some Navy SEAL teams on the right side of justice, in the name of humanity and God, go after these people. If there's only 12 of them, then go after them. I am pleading with professional forces out there. Okay? I'm not a super soldier. I'm not a Navy SEAL. I'm not airborne. I'm not a Green Beret. But you guys out there who swore an oath, you guys need to get together in secret and figure out who the people are that need to be taken out of their power seats. And everything that they've stolen from this country and the people of the world, all the gold, you know, I mean, maybe they need to be stuck in a chamber and tortured so that we can, you know, so that we can find out everything that we need to know. So we can get back the money wherever it's hidden, the gold that they stole from everybody. And we need a new money system. And we need a new, there should be no Democratic Republican Party anymore. And there should no longer be lobbyists. This system doesn't work. We're 2 cents on the dollar. It's about to collapse. And then they're going to bring in martial law because chaos is going to erupt everywhere. And people are going to start killing one another and cannibalizing one another. I mean, if people think it's bad now, what's coming is the end of times for most of us. And under martial law, those of us who know the truth are going to start disappearing. So something needs to be done, and we need to get on our hands and knees and start repenting for the fact that we've been duped. Okay? We've been lied to and duped all our lives and programmed with the television, and they're liars. Okay? It's either change our system, get rid of these people, or they're going to get rid of us.
I hear what you're saying. At the same time, I must say, after all of these years I've been looking into this, at this moment I feel really, really positive. I'm very optimistic about the future. Because when you look at it, they are starting to freak out because there's such an awakening going on, as at least the way I see it around.
Yeah, well, that's why internet censorship is coming.
They're trying to stop it in every possible way, but this ship is starting to sink, and they've started to jump and leave the ship, you know. So it's cracking down around them. I think that is why they're speeding up. They're trying with all these fake mass shootings and so on to speed the whole process up. And that's also why it's starting to become so obvious for everyone that what is going on is so weird and so manipulated and set up. So, no, I think it's only a matter of time, not very long, within maybe the next year, that all of this is going to crack down around them, and that we're going to, on the other side, going to come to a much more beautiful and harmonious world.
Yeah, but that's not what the Bible says.
I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm talking about me being positive about the future.
Well, that's fine, but... I believe in Yeshua, Jesus Christ, and from what I understand, no human flesh would survive if he doesn't come back early. And I'm just saying that we have a responsibility, that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. So either we do something about it, or we just wait until they decide to flip the switch, and then we all go into the dark ages, or an EMP, or a biological weapon is used against us and starts an infection that will wipe out most of us. I mean, this is their plans. So we are dealing with pure evil here. This is not just corruption and money and greed. This is pure evil. This is demonic people who are Satanists, who have been judged by God already. They have already lost the battle. And now what they're doing to humanity, they're doing it out of revenge. In the way that someone would say to you, Ole, okay, you know what, Ole, you don't care if you die and you're exposing all this, we're just going to kill your children. Well, that's what they're doing. They're going to kill the children of God. And we got to go to break. I just want you to know, I'm not advocating violence. I believe in self-defense, and the world is under attack by these killers, rapist killers, and they think it's fun. Something needs to be done, and people need to wake up and take this seriously. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact. You're listening to Shake and Wake on American Voice Radio. We'll be right back. This is one of mine, my band Real Lives.
Have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. This territory is now under martial law. Depression may occur. Stay in your homes. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision zone after curfew will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. Your neighborhood watch officer will be by to collect urine samples in the morning.
Remain calm. Welcome back to Shake and Wake on the American Voice Radio Network. Our guest today is Ole Damegaard, and we have Ziggy riding along with us. Ole, where were we? We were talking about solutions. I believe trying to wake up the military that they're being used, militaries around the world, to not go along with any martial law scenario, not take guns from citizens, to realize that the politicians and the political people and the bankers are the true enemies, and it's them who need to be surrounded and arrested. Like, surround the United Nations building, surround Washington, D.C., Capitol, and the White House, and the Supreme Court, and get on over to Denver Airport and lock that place down, as well as the Queen of England and anybody else involved in this thing. We need the military to not fire on the people of the world, my country, yours, England, anywhere. I think it's key to wake up the military. What do you think?
I think if you study history, especially if you study Nazi Germany and what happened under the Hitler regime and how the military was used to, they were duped into thinking that they were doing something really good to start with, and then in the end it just turned totally into absolute madness. And
yeah, they tried to take Hitler out. The German people and the military tried to take out the SS and Hitler several times. There was a movie called Valkyrie. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, it's built on, it's Stauffenberg from Stauffenberg. It's a historical event of how they tried to blow up Adolf Hitler. But the agenda today, I would say, is very similar. It's like, I would say that the New World Order is it is the Fourth Reich that is coming forward. It's this exact same mentality as it was even the same people and families that was backing Hitler in the Second World War, also creating the First World War, that are still here in power and are trying it this time,
right,
giving
the world,
it a new go.
The World Bank. And let's not forget Rome. You know, it's the Jesuits and the fake satanic Jews working together, along with every secret society. Put them all together and call them Illuminati.
But it's like, you see, the way it went with Hitler and how the army were supporting him into absolute total madness. We're talking about the exact same thing that is going on at the moment as well.
Yeah, they're using the same game plans.
Same game plans, and the police, I mean, people in uniform, is it, even if it's police or SWAT teams or soldiers, they are being duped into thinking that what they're doing is the right thing. But what is happening at the moment, there's absolutely no honor in that at all. It is bankers' greed that are creating these wars, and when they go to any of these fancy thing, Operation Stardust or Freedom or whatever they want to call them, soldiers who sign up to these things and think that they're defending people and they're defending democracy and defending the states and so on, have to wake up, because it is such a tragic thing that is happening, because they're
being used. Yeah, Frank calls it the meat grinder. Yeah, Frank calls it the meat grinder, because they either come back in a box with cocaine or drugs sewn into their bodies or in the caskets, or they come back here with missing limbs, or they come back here with post-traumatic stress, because they've killed innocent people.
This is the whole thing. They're soiling their soul. They're dipping their hands in blood for somebody else's greed. It's not even their own. And they're doing it because they've been duped into thinking that what they do is right. But what they are doing, it's absolutely awful. They are brutal enforcers, hired killers that are sent to different continents and countries to just destroy it, totally rape and plunder this place, and then they come back and think they would be treated like heroes and so on. It's not by coincidence that so many young people and old veterans and so on are committing suicide on such a massive scale, because they come back and they're totally destroyed from what they've done and when they start seeing what they're part of.
Yeah, we know several of them, and they confess that they're going to hell for what they did, and they're scared crapless.
Yeah,
and they're ashamed of what they've done. And a lot of soldiers have spoken out. And, it's not just greed. It's not just greed. When they bomb innocent children and women in cities and places, that's a ritual. That's a satanic ritual. The act of killing innocent people, they get off on it. The whole thing, shock and awe, when we started bombing Baghdad and everything, that has a secret hidden meaning, what that word meant, shock and awe. Comes from shock and awe. Are you familiar with that? In other words, it's not just to take over the resources, but, you know, they hide it from the public, and at the same time, they throw it in your face and tell you ahead of time, 9/11. It's so dark, it's unbelievable, you know. And we should all pray for the men in uniform, that they could wake up, that they will say no. Because if the soldiers and police officers of the world, not just in this country, but of the world, will say no, then who's going to fight these wars? Who's going to try to corral the American people, or people in Spain or Germany or anywhere? So long as they've got these people that are carrying machine guns and bazookas and controlling drones, that are brainwashed into thinking they're doing the right thing, and that people like Annie and I and Ole or Ziggy are terrorists who need to be killed or arrested, you, the rest of you people out there in society, you've got big problems. Because when they get rid of all of us, they're coming for the sleeping people next. But you people aren't too dangerous if you're just sitting at home watching television. They've already got you under their control. Go ahead, Ole. We got like 15 minutes left. Ziggy, did you have any questions for Ole? Anything you'd like him to comment on?
Raka, Entschuldigung. Sorry. I'm speaking German here, too. No, I just find it interesting because I haven't found anything out about this highway Oswell. I didn't know they opened this grave up. That's the first time I heard of it.
No, it's a... When it comes to Oswald, I mean, the JFK assassination, it's a massive, massive conspiracy. It's so multi-layered that it's no wonder that even 50 years down the road, it's still a bit, it's like an enigma inside a labyrinth, inside of mystery. And there's so many different angles to it and so on. But, I've together with many other people who have devoted our lives to it have started to really see very clearly what happened. And, so the Oswald, this thing, well, it's, there's especially one documentary called, The Men That Killed Kennedy. The Men
Oh,
that
I've
killed
seen
Kennedy.
That. That was good, yeah.
It's a 6-hour documentary series. That's
they
the
killed JFK Jr. too, because he would be the president right now.
They killed John as well. They killed a long row. And that's why the thing that I've found out is that they, like I said, they actually used the exact same assassins in many of these different cases. And in many other shows, I name them all and how they're connected and who did what where and so on. So you will find the same people that were in Dealey Plaza, David Morales, one of the Operation 40, one of the killers there. He was also at the Ambassador Hotel.
Papa Bush, who went on to become the head of the CIA and then president.
He was not at the Ambassador Hotel when Robert Kennedy was taken out, but he was actually in Dealey Plaza. He was in the Deltex building.
Yeah, there's a picture of him on the sidewalk in front of the book depository there.
Yeah. But he was, it's important also to know that George Bush Sr. was actually the paymaster for this Operation 40, this group of assassins. He had appointing next to him to do the financial part of it, to funnel the funds from the oil tycoons in Texas and the military industrial complex and governmental sources as well. That was a man by the name of Felix Rodriguez. And Felix Rodriguez was also very, very central in the Iran-Contra scandal, where many of these operatives from Operation 40 was of the main characters as well in that. And Felix Rodriguez was also the guy that was given the task to track down Che Guevara in Bolivia. And the guy who actually shot him was this David Morales that I mentioned before. But also in the John Lennon assassination, the patsy was Mark Chapman, but the actual guy who shot John Lennon from the left that evening was a doorman, or he was dressed as a doorman, but his real name was Jose Perdomo.
Wow, you got to be kidding me.
No,
I thought, well, we know Mark David Chapman was likely mind-controlled, and he had Catcher in the Rye in his pocket, and he didn't leave the scene. But someone else, you believe someone else shot John Lennon?
No, I know somebody else did it.
Wow. We got to have you back here next Wednesday if you want. It's open.
But this is what I'm saying. If you want to, I can go into great details with these things because I prefer sticking to facts that are really revealing instead of just sitting talking about stuff. That's what I prefer.
If you'd like to come back next Wednesday, we could spend like the first hour on JFK and then... and his brother, and then maybe go the second hour on what you know about Lennon's murder. From what I understand about Lennon's murder, he had got on the phone with Paul McCartney and said, listen, if you're not going to tell people, I'm gonna. Because we need to straighten out the history regarding this situation. And shortly after that, John Lennon is murdered.
That is one of the theories. I can't guarantee that that's the truth, but that is one of the theories. And also that George Harrison, when he wanted to go live with it, that he was stabbed in his house. He was almost murdered as well.
And then given weaponized cancer, right?
That I don't know. But there are many, many people who have died from cancer that has come very unsuspectedly.
Yep. Linda McCartney as well, and she was a vegetarian. Go figure.
Yeah, I've had friends also.
And Linda knew that this guy claiming to be Paul is not the real Paul. She was a photographer of the early Beatles. She is one of the heiresses to Eastman Kodak. And we've read a lot of stuff about that Linda basically wanted to be a famous musician and singer, and that she kind of like kind of blackmailed him into marrying her. And the choices were marry her, keep her quiet, or we're going to have to kill her. So Paul liked her. Fall liked her. Fake Paul. So he married her. But, you know, maybe she was getting mouthy. I mean, the only one who hasn't been whacked yet who's come close to spilling the beans is
Ringo.
Ringo and Paul's wife there, Heather Mills. But she was pretty scared a few years back.
Yes, she's been speaking out as well. The thing is, I always try to avoid this Paul McCartney or Fall McCartney, because when you mention it, people right away think you have a tinfoil hat on.
But, yeah, that's true, but, yeah.
Hey, so I've seen all the evidence. There's no way it's the same person.
But on the same token, I have many friends that actually checked the documentary, and they're like, "Wow, we're
right."
Yeah,
if you look at the pictures of the pre 66 Paul and the guy in 69, it's not the same person.
Also, if you hear the George Harrison interview where he actually says
Fall. George Harrison on national television, live, he's being asked, and he says, well, it's a personal problem with Fall.
Yeah, and he said that many times.
Right, and then he says,
agitated.
Yeah, and he says, listen, you know, we want the history cleared up, and if Fall will come forward, not Paul, if Fall will come forward and straighten this out, then it'll be on Ringo and me. It'll be our responsibility. Because I don't have time to screw around anymore. And what he was saying is they're trying to kill me. I need to get the truth out. And Ringo, I doubt Ringo is going to say anything after what he's seen.
And do you blame him?
And the only one that was knighted amongst the Beatles is Paul McCartney, Sir Paul. So, figure it out. It's definitely true. And I know what you're saying. People think you're nuts.
I've been in touch with plastic surgeons and also people that reconstruct faces in crime cases and so on. They've had a look at this. There's an Italian team of these forensic experts that have a look, compared, you know, the skull size, the widths between the eyes, the ear shapes, the teeth, these things. And not even the eye color is the same. You know, the height is not the same. It's not the same person. And but like I say, I try to avoid this because the main question is, why was this covered over? I mean,
because the Beatles were created to bring in the drug culture and sexual promiscuous behavior, so that they could push drugs on the people.
The Tavistock
in this instance.
That is exactly it. I mean, there are some MI6 agents that have come forward and explain about this. But it's like, I agree with what you're saying, it's just that it is a theory that makes people shut down. When you start talking about that, they just like, oh, come on, it's like too much.
True,
So that's why I always try to avoid that one. But
why do you think they shut it up that way, to make it unbelievable? So this way, that's the perfect cover-up, don't you think? That if you make it really, really unbelievable, people are just going to shut down, like you said.
Right. Plus, there's a movie floating around. And we're almost out of time, but there's a movie floating around, The Last Testament of George Harrison. I believe that that was an MI5, MI6 operation done with Hollywood. They're claiming that it's George Harrison on the tapes, but it clearly isn't George Harrison's voice.
No.
And
no.
What they have done, basically, is they've told part of the story, twisted it with lies, and threw it out there so that when people say that's not George Harrison, then they dismiss the whole thing, that Paul is dead.
Mm.
In other words, it's a common tactic of the Illuminati that if there's a chance the conspiracy or the truth is going to come out, then they bring in somebody to put the truth out there in a bizarre way and change some of the facts to cover it up and hide it in plain sight and make it like, okay, that's not real. Same thing with Alex Jones, Bohemian Grove. There is no need to do a mock sacrifice to Satan. Okay? The sacrifices that took place there are real. Children, all types of effigies and things that go on. So what they did was, is they bring in Alex Jones to fake a documentary like he snuck in there. Right. Okay. And attended the mock sacrifice. And Alex makes a movie about it, calling it a mock sacrifice. Yeah, okay. And if I want to join the mob, I'll do a mock killing to prove my loyalty, right? Give me a break. We're just about out of time. I'd like to thank you, Ole. We'd love to have you back.
Let's talk off the air and decide a time.
All right.
Okay.
All right, but you've been an awesome guest. Thank you for coming. I'm sorry that you weren't able to make it at the top of the hour. We didn't have as much time as we normally do. I'd like to thank Ziggy also for riding along with us. You're listening to Shake and Wake. We love you guys. Frank Stefan is up next. Thanks. Thank you so much. Everybody keep the faith.
Thank you to all our millions of fans out there and
all the cool people in the chat.
We love you all.
We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
God bless.
Bombadida, 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 about the clouds when we're together. Just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Shake and wake to the truth with Rick and Annie. And the truth will set you free on American Voice Radio. Radio. Radio.
Get ready to shake and wake to the truth. This is an all-point.
Be on the lookout for the couple known as Rick and Annie.
They are armed with the truth. We consider it extreme and dangerous.
Shake and wake to the truth with Rick and Annie. Weekdays in December, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Pacific, on AVR2. Visit shakeandwake.com. See if you can catch them.
Deal with it.